All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, presented by the Nation Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to episode 8 of Oilers Nation Radio. I think it's episode 8.
I think it's episode 9. It's
episode 9. I have episode 9 written down at the top
episode
of my sheet.
Episode 9.
So that's what we're rolling with no matter what.
The Oilers Anderson Nation Radio.
We may have skipped an episode.
We may have skipped one. We may not have. Thankfully, we are all back here together. Coombs back from Toronto. Went on a little adventure last week, and we're all here thanks to our friends at Sherwood Ford the Giant. Go see them at 2540 Broadmoor Boulevard in Sherwood Park, Alberta. Give them a call, 587-860-1538. Again, that is 587-860-1538. Or, Chris, look out for the Nation truck rolling around the capital region.
Turning
heads.
You
can see it from a mile away. You can see it from space.
Take a picture of
Victoria. Talk to Victoria on the website, too.
Victoria is ready to talk to you on the website.
Is she always available 24/7? Does she go home?
Victoria has a very, very strong work ethic. She is always ready to help out customers.
So at 3 a.m. if I need some advice on a vehicle, anything, I can shoot a message.
Victoria's
and
there.
Victoria will be ready to just wake up, answer my question.
I think when she gets the message, it shoots her bed up, straight up. She lands on her feet and she's immediately at her computer.
I was told she actually lives at Sherwood Ford. She has a little bedroom there. She's always working.
See, that's dedication, Holmes. Mm-hmm. Talking customer service with Victoria. You can go chat with her online at sherwoodford.ca. Boys, big week for the Oilers.
Huge.
Not necessarily wins-wise. Very good, very, very good games all around. Nashville game, sure, they didn't score. Played well. Didn't score. Sucks. Pittsburgh game, oh boy. Oh boy. Everybody's scoring against the Pittsburgh, except Calgary. We'll get to that in a minute. And then last night's big win against the Washington Capitals, a 4-1 win against the defending Stanley Cup champions. Coom, you were there. Dan was there. Chris and I were at home doing our blogger thing. Cam, we'll start with you. What was the vibe like at Rogers Place last night?
The vibe was exciting because the Oilers now have a live crew of drummers.
Yeah, you were super into it.
I was very into the drummer. And let me tell you, it wasn't the old Rexall Place drumming guy that banged on the
They never
buckets.
Hired him?
No, he's just
they
the Let's Go Oilers guy. That guy, is what you're talking about? Let's Go Oilers, and then dunk, 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 that guy.
Yeah, the guy like outside of Rexall that would like...
Oh, pale drummer guy.
Yeah, pale drummer.
Yo, they should definitely bring
They
that
should
guy.
Have hired him to do it, but I respect what these other drummers are doing. They got like a marching band style drum going on. I feel like I'm watching college football, which is always good. People at the stadium yesterday were fired up. they believe in the team now.
Did they feel like anything that they can steal from college sports is a good idea.
It's always
Chris, good. Go ahead.
Were they playing the drums during play?
No.
Yeah, that's what they were doing. They were trying to distract the other team.
No.
I'm confused.
Dan,
you were there again last night. You were there with a crew of Swedes last night. Tell us about it.
That was our final game with our Swedish friends, thanks to Explore Edmonton.
Hell of a game to go out on, too.
Yeah, they had a great time. They got to see the Nashville game, so they were a little disappointed. They got to see the Pittsburgh game, and they were pretty excited about that one. And then they got to see a good, solid Oilers win, 60 minutes of good Oilers hockey.
Would I be out of line, Dan, by saying that this was easily the most complete game the Oilers have played all season?
Not even close to being out of line. That might be the most in the lines thing you've ever said, Begbie.
Especially given the competition they're facing. The Washington Capitals, former Stanley Cup champions, were the team that the Oilers played a complete game against.
But you know what the problem was for Washington?
They were missing somebody.
They no longer have the answer.
Oh, we're going to get to Alex Chiesa on the answer, taking a role away from Ty Ratty in just a moment. First thing I want to bring up with last night's win, though, close to my heart, my boy Frank is now 4-4 on the season.
Yeah, he is.
Gus, not doing so well, Chris. He's 2-6.
Bless the good people at Sherrod Ford, but Gus is not putting on a good show right now. He's struggling early in the season, and I can only hope that he bounces back.
I think Frank is showing a little bit of his seasoned veteran, as it were. He had, what, 6 picks last year where he could kind of round out his form?
Yeah, and get a little taste, as you will.
And as Beg Milk has said, He's an advanced stats kind of guy.
He's a thinker.
He thinks about it before he does.
Works his way through it.
Whereas Gus is pretty emotional.
Gus comes in hot.
He thinks with his heart.
Oh, he sure does.
Except for last night because he chose.
Yeah. Pull it together, Gus. We love you. The good boy battle, though, is kind of getting one-sided. I don't want to brag. Boy Frank, though, he's putting in the work. Now, a couple of things I want to get back to on last night's game. Dan, you touched on Alex Chia's son being the new answer. Coombe, is he replacing Ty Ratty in your heart as the answer?
I think Alex Chiazon has fully jumped over Ty Ratty as the answer on my depth chart.
Whoa.
When you go to a hockey game and the only Alex who scores is Chiazon and you're playing the Washington Capitals, then that's a good thing. And I respect what Alex Chiazon's doing. He's got a hell of a shot.
I believe Alex Burakovsky did score a goal.
It's Andre Burakovsky.
It's Andre.
Sure it's not Alex?
Oh, no, it's Andre.
It is Andre.
What about
Alex Nugent-Hopkins? Did he score a goal?
No, he didn't.
Alex Bouchard also scored his first career NHL goal. Talbot was huge in net for the Oilers.
And
all the drummers were named Alex.
But can you lose the answer designation through injury?
I think you can. That's kind of the reality. It's like playing King's Court in basketball in phys ed when you're in high school, junior high, elementary school, whatever, playing King's Court. And it's like whoever's the answer at the time is the answer. And if you beat out the answer, like Chiazon's playing better, he's the answer. But then if all of a sudden Cooper Marody scores 3 goals next game, mm-hmm. Cooper Marody might be the answer.
Ty Ratty just doesn't get to keep the answer status when he's sitting in the press box. Yeah.
But if he comes back and plays well and Chiazon starts struggling, then Ty Ratty's the answer.
But I would really like to see a battle for the answer status.
The answer is fluid.
It is fluid.
We're going to have King's an answer court. Bracket.
We should make an
season.
Answer belt. Like a WWE championship belt.
With a giant Riddler green question mark.
Exactly. And we wait outside the dressing room after the game and we wait for the players and we're like, all right, we've decided who the answer is now. And they're like, what the fuck?
They turn us down every time unceremoniously.
The Oilers already give away their leather patches thing and their helmet for player of the game. And we're just standing out there with a belt saying, no. This is the answer. We dub the answer. Alex Chiasson had a hell of a day yesterday, Chris.
Yeah, he got his Stanley Cup ring from the Caps.
You guys read the game, so I don't know. You wouldn't have seen what they showed on TV about the ring. This thing is massive. Yeah. Dan, you wrote about it at Oilers Nation yesterday. That is a hell of a day for Alex Chiasson.
Man, yeah. It's super cool to see these guys have their moment. I know that, it's been a summer of elation for all of them. But yeah, like you said, Bag Milk, that ring is just something to behold. It's got to be a heck of a weight on your hand.
It can fund my whole life, I think.
Did he wear it during the game?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Probably.
That's why he gets all that power behind his shot.
I agree.
Through the ring. One ring to rule them all.
Another guy scored his first NHL goal last night, Evan Bouchard. Last week, Kaylor Yamamoto got his first NHL goal. Last night, Evan Bouchard with a big half-clapper from the point, seeing eye through traffic, past Holtby, arguably one of the most subdued first NHL goal celebrations I've ever seen, Chris.
I expect nothing less from him. And then you compare it to Yamamoto's first goal last week, as you
he
said.
He was elated.
He was elated.
So excited.
When you're a 38-year-old rookie,
yeah,
you've been there. You've seen these things.
Evan Bouchard's lived a lot of life. He's lived an extremely jubilant lifestyle. He's traveled the world. He has children. He's a 38-year-old man.
Coombs sneaking in the word of the day, jubilant.
We did it.
I was wondering why everyone was like laughing.
Shout out to
that's where my creative writing minor comes in handy. I went to the University of Alberta and I got a creative writing minor, and that's what I can do things like this now. Use the word jubilant in a sentence.
To me, I don't care if you're 70 years old. I want a smile if you score your first NHL goal.
Yeah, like a smile, like a little smirk, maybe.
Yeah, it's not fun for me to see someone.
So you'd say
just
Bouchard
like
certainly wasn't a jubilant in after scoring that goal.
I agree. He wasn't jubilant.
He lacked
Bouchard's celebration. Looked like the exact same way you would react if you win a free coffee. Do you know what I mean? It was just like, oh, cool.
Yeah,
nice.
He looked like he just finished gassing up his car.
Yeah, but he got a great deal. Got a couple of extra air miles like, or something like that.
It's like, I just noticed the gas is down to like $1.10. Like, I better go gas. I'm going to stand there with like a bit of a smirk. He's
what if
this isn't bad?
What if he knows he's getting sent down after 9 hours and so he's just doesn't want to be there?
You just led me into my next topic of conversation, Chris. That is a segue and a half. Last night, Evan Bouchard played 11 minutes, 309 on the power play, 751 at even strength. That was his seventh game of the year. Boys, what do you think? Is he sticking? Is he going down? Dan, I'm going to start with you. What do you think?
It's tough to say. Like, you got to think that if... Nice mic stand there.
Everybody is bumping mic stands.
Big
today.
Boom. You gotta think that if he goes down, that Ethan Bear is his replacement. But we haven't even seen Ethan Bear with the chance to have called him up. Speaking of which, Kevin Gravel has been playing really well. Is it Kevin Gravel or is it Alex Gravel? Anyways,
it's Alex Gravel.
Yeah, I thought so. But yeah,
Alex Bouchard. Everybody.
I don't know. It's a tough question because I thought Ethan Bear would have been up by now and we could have seen him replace Bouchard. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think this is an easy decision.
Go ahead.
You keep Evan Bouchard in the NHL all day long. There's no point sending him down to play with like a bunch of 16-year-olds and him score 100 points in a season.
I'm going to counter your, because to me, it's an easy decision that you send him down.
Yep.
There's an expansion draft coming up.
Yep.
He would be
no one said anything
right
about
under
an expansion draft.
Well, you got to think forward, man.
Yeah.
Can't just live in the moment all the time, Chris.
Sorry, continue about the draft.
And right now he's playing. Last night was one of his most played games, I would say, at 11 minutes. I think that there's more value to him going back to London, going to the World Juniors at Christmas, trying to get a Mem Cup with the London Knights.
London, they look good.
There's a lot of value there.
They picked up Adam Boqvist, and him and Bouchard can play together and just dominate that league.
I'd like to see the Oilers give him a list of stuff that they want him to work on, send him down, let him play huge minutes. And then we don't have to worry about the expansion draft in a few years, Chris.
So what's the ruling with the expansion draft?
If he's on his entry-level contract, he'll be exempt from being picked from Seattle, so they don't have to worry about him at all. But if he plays, you know, this year and then the three seasons finish, he has to sign a new deal and they'll have to protect him. He's not exempt from the expansion draft.
Mm-hmm. And then
so they'll be putting themselves, because they have Sekera and Russell with the no moves. So
yeah, if we go by
they're
going to
end up losing like Adam Larson in the expansion draft or something.
If you go by Vegas rules, then you have to protect all of the guys with no movement clauses. So,
do you get your buyout before or after that, though? If you get a buyout beforehand, then you can buy out, obviously, 27, and then you get to save it. Well, that's where the buyout's going to be.
Definitely. So there's a chance.
I forget how that worked last time. If you get to do the buyout, then you can keep them because you can just buy out Luch. You don't have to worry about trying to save that one. Russell won't be here by then. He just won't. They'll figure out a way to get rid of him.
We're inevitably going to have another
lockout. Sekera's not going to be around for it because you can move him. I don't even know how many years he has left on his contract.
I think three after this one?
Three after this one?
Because it was a six-year deal, right?
It was a five-year deal, wasn't it?
Sekera?
For Sekera?
Let me check.
There's a lot of question marks coming up because the CBA
I thought it was a five.
Expires.
I think he has two more after this. But again, I could be completely wrong.
So Klefbom has four after this. Larson's got two after this. Russell has two after this. Nurse one after this. And then Sekera's got two more after this year.
Okay. So two more after this for Sekera. So there are some spots that are going to open up. I just don't see it. I think that you've got a capable guy in Ethan Bear who's probably comparable. and he's a little bit maybe further ahead in his development. He's got a couple of pro seasons under his belt. And yesterday in the game notes, which go watch the 1 Minute Man on OilersNation.com, Cam and Chris are doing a great job with that. Alex Pietrangelo, Ryan Ellis, Dougie Hamilton, Ryan Murray, Matt Dumba, Darnell Nurse all played as 19-year-olds in junior, and they all seem to be fine.
It's more common for the defensemen to play their post-draft year in junior hockey than it is for them to play in the NHL.
Cam, what do you think? Does he stay or go?
No, he definitely goes. Like, I thought there was a chance they kept him up past 9 because I think that the thing they're ultimately more concerned about is the 40-game threshold, which is affects his UFA years. But I would just be shocked at this point with Ethan Bear, who's like a perfectly capable player in the AHL, that they, like, just given the usage Bouchard's getting, like 12 minutes a night in the NHL, I don't know. Like, I think he's learning a bit, but I don't think he's learning enough doing that.
That's why I say it. Like, they give him a list of stuff to work on, make sure that they're in constant contact throughout the year, send him back to London, let him go to World Juniors, let him try for a Mem Cup. There's a lot of stuff that he can still do at junior.
But he'll be full-time on the team next year for sure.
100%.
One question mark I did that just came to my head was, if Chiarelli is in a win-now mode, though, is he just going to not care about burning those years because it might be some other GM's problem?
There's that point to be made as well, but I think that they're just Bear and Bouchard at this point. I think Bouchard's going to be better long-term, but at this point, I think they're so similar that why would you waste the extra year of team control?
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
Bear has a big power play shot, and he could fill a lot of the role that Bouchard has too.
Have we changed your mind, Chris?
Kind of. Yeah, you did.
You folded like a tent. You folded like a tent.
You're too easy.
Well, it all makes sense. But Chia is going to surprise us and keep him up here.
Chia's surprises are always wonderful, as we know.
Yep.
This first segment of the Oilers Nation Radio podcast brought to you, of course, by our friends at Sherwood Ford the Giant. They are ready to help you with all of your vehicle needs. Maybe you could even just go talk to them about some life advice. They're a worldly bunch, Chris. A lot of knowledge there, a lot of years of experience, a lot of handsome guys and gals ready to help you out in every way.
I know I would like to ask Tony O some things about my life.
Sure. Maybe Corio as well.
Or Coiero.
Dan is battling names today.
His name isn't Alex, though? Is it Alex,
though? There's got to be at least one Alex at Sherwood Ford.
There has to be.
Certainly.
Not all of them are named Alex.
Oh, this is a bad day.
Oh. Dan is battling names. Courtesy of our friends at Sherwood Ford the Giant, 2540 Broadmoor Boulevard, Sherwood Park, Alberta. Give them a call at 587-860-1538. Go see them at sherwoodford.ca. Ask questions. Book service. Go test drive a vehicle, Chris.
Do it.
Maybe you too can drive a truck as amazing as the Nation truck from our friends at Sherwood Ford the Giant.
Like the band U2?
Yes. Ah. Bono would love to drive the Nation truck. I guarantee it.
That thing is good on gas. I was surprised. I talked to Jay about that.
Jay has not filled up the tank yet.
I know.
Is that real? Is that a real thing?
No, I just made that up. Wow. But could you imagine?
Amazing. Amazing fuel economy in the Nation truck. Incredible. Back to last night's game. I really want to quickly touch on Cam Talbot's performance against Pittsburgh. I was critical in the wrap-up. He had an .806 save percentage. He admitted after the game he wasn't happy with himself. He felt like he needed to be better. He needed to come up with bigger saves, giving the guys a chance to win. Last night, he did all of the things you want from your starter, finished with a 9.69, nice, save percentage, big night, shut the Caps down. Ovi looked like he wasn't even there.
Ovi looked like he drank 4 Coca-Colas right before the game.
What are you talking about, Chris? That is something that came out yesterday that I loved.
It was on Twitter, I think.
Great source.
Yeah. No, actually, I remember it was on the Spin Chicklets podcast. They interviewed Brooks Orpik, who said that Alex Ovechkin likes to drink about 3 to 4 cold pops.
A couple of Dr. Peppers, Chris.
Dr. Pepper and Coca-Cola.
Reminds me of Forrest Gump when he went to meet the president. Yeah. He drank himself about 15 Dr. Peppers.
Yeah. Do you think Ovi had too many Coca-Colas last night?
Could be.
I think the issue was the Oilers took too few penalties, and the Capitals, unless they had the power play, aren't that good.
Or that, yeah.
They only took one penalty last night.
That was soft.
Milan Lucic keeps getting called for being big, and it's really annoying. He just kind of touched a guy.
Being thick.
Lucic's thick.
2 minutes thick.
Big Daddy's super thick.
Big Daddy.
he's getting these weird calls that he's just like kind of coasting into people, bumping them, and they just yard sale all over the place, and he's getting called for it. It's super annoying. Now, with that said, that penalty was taken. We move on to my hero, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, scoring the game winner, shorthanded snipe, absolute beauty, mind read John Carlson, rips the puck off him, little dangle on Nick Backstrom, rips it past Holtby. Chris, your thoughts on Ryan Nugent-Hopkins' goal last night?
It looked amazing. Nuge is the penalty kill all-star because of it. And he was like, he was inches away from getting kneed and injured for the rest of the season, but he dodged it. He dodged it and dangled.
That was Backstrom that was defending him too.
Yeah,
Backstrom,
it wasn't actually
Backstrom
a knee,
stuck
but
his, Backstrom stuck his leg out a little bit.
Did he?
Oh yeah.
And then the flyby too. He went flyby towards the board, stick his knee out. Nuge dangles him, rips it past.
And then we got the coveted Nuge low double fist Selly.
That was good.
Chris, the big Selly guy, what do you give that? What would you rank that?
It was an 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10. Dan, you like that?
Oh, I loved the whole play. The whole sequence was amazing.
What was the vibe like at Rogers Place when Nuge scores that beauty?
Oh, man.
In the video, there's two things that I want to point out. First, when he rips the pass from Carlson, there's the initial roar, like, yeah. Oh!
Yeah.
And then he dangles Backstrom's, oh!
Yeah. It was,
and then the goal, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I'm surprised. We talked about it earlier. Like, I'm surprised that this hasn't happened more often with this new drop pass kind of offense that the power plays all over the NHL are instituting. But yeah, that you could just feel the crowd getting up numerous times during that game, because there was like three or four good breaks by the Oilers.
Yeah, Holtby played well too.
Yeah,
no, that's another thing. The Oilers could have easily scored a lot more goals, but like Holtby robbed McDavid on a breakaway.
Yeah, I was going to say the McDavid
tons of big saves. There was one where Kajula set up Lucic in front of the net with a good 2-on-1. Like, there was a lot of good things about yesterday's game. I mean, Holtby, I think, like stopped it from being like a pretty lopsided score.
Holtby had Connor's number throughout the whole game, and then as soon as Holtby leaves the net, Connor pots.
But man, it was wild when Nuge scored that goal and everybody was chanting Nuge, and the drummers came out. It was like Nuge.
Back to the drummers for Coombe. He's super into it. I like it.
I think people were moderately fired up with the goal, but the drummers came out and they became extremely fired up about the goal.
How can you not be fired up with a marching band? And I'm a big marching band guy.
I also have to give credit for that goal song too. That's getting me excited now. Like, I'm
hell yeah.
Enjoying. Yeah, a little bit of hell yeah.
Still, hell yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those, like we discussed, it's an easy choice, yep. But it never fails.
It works. Mm-hmm. It's better than what the D da 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 da.
I still would do.
Oh,
I would still do Africa by Toto.
Oh, that'd be like, you imagine Nuge rips that goal home.
Da, 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 da.
See, everybody loves it.
Okay,
everybody's into it.
Okay, that's enough. Stop that. We're going to get sued.
We have no rights for that song on this podcast. Chris, go ahead.
Last episode, I was saying that the Oilers need to do like a woo thing at the end of after goal. That happened last night.
They were doing some Ric Flair woos.
Yeah.
They were doing some
Ric Flair woos. Was that always a thing?
I think
They have a thing that they've done where they'll do that, come on. And then there's a
DMX come on thing. It makes me laugh.
They used to do the home improvement grunt. They would just come on.
They're trying some stuff. You have to give them credit for trying some stuff. Some of it's flopping miserably.
I hope that the Ric Flair woo sticks.
Or how's this, Chris? If you want to waste 90 minutes of your Friday, why don't you go on YouTube and listen to a compilation of all the grunts from Home Improvement?
I pretty much heard.
Or
all
you can
of them
also right watch. There. There's a video on YouTube where someone took the video game Doom and they changed all the sounds to that grunt, and they go through and play it, and it's just nonstop.
Yes,
it's insane. I would recommend it.
You know, on Tuesday, the Oilers played the Penguins. It was a very close game, lost 6-5 in overtime. However, our friends down at Flames Nation did not have such a good time against the Penguins last night.
Friends?
Of course, they're friends. They're friends. They're like those cousins that you're like, hey man, but you don't really talk to the rest of the year.
That's fair.
Who have accomplished nothing in their lives, and you're still kind of just like, oh hey, you guys.
We're visiting next month.
Nation road trip available, backsidetours.com. Go get their tickets right now. Now, the Penguins absolutely dummied the Flames.
Decimated.
Absolutely dummied them. And I'd love nothing more than a huge Oilers win combined with a massive Flames loss. It's like getting a nice steak and a glass of wine. It just goes well together, you know?
Yes.
Cam, tell me about Mike Smith.
It's more like Mike's myth, the myth that he's good because he fucking sucks. He got absolutely shelled. I think.
Yeah, that was pretty aggressive.
But I think at this juncture right now, Mike Smith's got the lowest save percentage in the league at like 866 or something. The Flames themselves are like, they're actually a pretty good team. Like, they got a solid blue line, lots of like offense, but Smith is bad. And I wouldn't be surprised if that Rittich kid takes over and becomes their like main starting goalie, because I mean, Smith's old too. Like, he's like,
yeah,
he's 37. He's been around forever. He's, you know, been injured a lot. Like, it's shocking that the Flames decided this was their guy that they were going to, you know, try and contend with. But I think that he's going to lose the net in Calgary pretty soon.
Since we're talking about goalies, Chris, I'm going to throw it over to you. Mikko Koskinen will be getting his first start of the year tomorrow against the Nashville Predators. The Oilers have back-to-back games this weekend. Nashville on Saturday, Chicago on Sunday. Chris, what are your thoughts on Mikko Koskinen getting his first start of the year against the league-leading Nashville Predators?
I don't have very high expectations, although we all know anything can happen. So, like, I'm kind of a wait-and-see kind of guy. So, we'll only time will tell. Like,
they're chucking him in the deep end at the very least.
They are, and that's interesting because we talked about this last week on the strategy behind. So, they're obviously kind of... they're going for the for sure win against Chicago with Talbot on Sunday. And then they're I don't want to say expecting a loss, but they're not trying as hard tomorrow with Koskinen in it.
Never know. We haven't seen him in regular season. Maybe he comes out and surprises us, looks a little bit sharper than he did in the preseason. Dan, what do you think?
I like the changeup. I like the fact that Nashville got to see Talbot last week, and that's a different style of goalie than Koskinen is. Koskinen is ostensibly just a bigger goalie, and he plays the size game, whereas Talbot's a little bit more finesse.
Looking style. Back at the back at the preseason stats, Koskinen got in three games, had a 3.69 goals against average. That's with an 8.55 save percentage. Coom, how are you feeling about that?
I think the Oilers are like we said, I think that they're going into this Nashville Chicago thing, and I think they, if you look at it and you put Talbot in against Nashville and then Koskinen against Chicago, and you lose to Nashville, and then you need to win that Chicago game, and Koskinen goes in and lays an egg in his first career game, then you're looking at an 0-2 road trip. So I kind of like what they're doing here, is they're really loading themselves up for that for sure win against Chicago. And then maybe Koskinen isn't bad and he, you know, wins against Nashville. That'd be great. But like I actually quite like the strategy.
Rick, what do you think about the goalie splits for this weekend?
This is definitely the way I expected it to go. I would have tossed Koskinen in tomorrow and leave Talbs for Sunday against the Hawks.
And I think, to your credit, Rick, if you go back two episodes, you did call this. I think it was two episodes
ago. How do you remember that?
That's impressive.
He talked about having the Nashville game as the one where you want to put Koskinen in.
Yeah, I think that's just the easiest play. You really need that win against Chicago. And if we can sneak one out, if we somehow get both of them, then hell yeah. But Chicago is definitely the game you need to win.
It's a good position to be in, though, where we've got some wins under our belt now, and we can kind of play the strategy game instead of just forcing Talbot to have to play all the time because we have to win all the time.
At the very worst, they'll finish this first 10 hell games at 4-5-1, which I think if you were asked at the beginning of the season if you'd be happy with 4-5-1, you would say absolutely. Yeah. Sure.
That's a good point, because when things were really dark at 0-2.
Oh,
when
boy.
They lost to the Bruins.
I was thinking 1-9.
When they lost to the Bruins, things were really dark around here. And Brownlee actually on Twitter threw out, here's the next 8-9 games or whatever. How many wins do you think they'll get in that series? And if you go back through the answers, there was a lot of people saying 1-0, none. Chris, how do you feel about the Oilers being 4-3-1 where they're at, considering the start to the schedule, considering the travel, considering the fucking murderer's row of opponents they've faced so far?
Yeah, this is obviously like a terrifying stretch of games for us. And I was not expecting to be over 500. I was expecting to be 1-2 games below 500. And if that was the case, I was going to be satisfied with it. And now we really only have one game left of this strong competition, and we're above 500. So like, how can you not be excited?
There's some bad teams coming up. Yeah, two Chicago. Chicago's bad. Detroit coming up, they're bad. Then you go to play in like Florida and teams like that.
The thing about that is that I saw a tweet, I don't know who tweeted it, but the Oilers are being forced to play a high level of hockey right now that they wouldn't normally be forced to play like this early in the year. And now that they're doing it and they're at that level, and hopefully they're all clicking like that, and we can just fire through the rest of the season at this pace.
So here's an interesting thing that I found is back in 2016-17, remember the Oilers made the playoffs, and I think one of their really big statement wins during that early 5-game winning streak was when they beat Washington 4-1, and it was on the 26th of October in 2016. And that was a big statement win, and then from there they really went and like they flew from there.
2 years later, we're almost in the same spot.
Exact same spot, except it was on the 25th of October that they beat Washington 4-1.
Chris brought up a point where the Oilers are playing at a higher level right now against some very good hockey teams. Is there any concern when the level of competition drops a little bit that their level of play will also drop down to that of a weaker team, Dan?
Yeah, that has been an Oilers curse of previous years. So you hope that the coaching staff is planning for that and getting ready for that, because yeah, you don't want to be the team that the second team that Detroit beats this year or anything like that.
All year they're going to go 2-80. I wouldn't be surprised. They're so bad.
They are pretty bad. So yeah, I mean, and you got like, I mean, they also have to play Minnesota on the Tuesday after the Chicago game. So it's not like we're leaving, you know, we're not leaving the top of the league and then heading down to Detroit for 6 games in a row or something. We still have some good
competition. The reality is like the Western Conference is deep, right? Like yep. Really, how many bad teams are there in the West? Like I don't think Arizona's very good.
Calgary.
Calgary's all right. They're all right.
I tried. Vancouver's like, way better than
thought. Who do you think is an easy win in the West? Like if you see that on the schedule, who's an easy win? Anybody?
It's a weird start to the season in the Western Conference. Because do you think Vancouver's going to maintain the pace they're at right now?
No. There's no way.
This happened last year, too. Vancouver had this last year, and then that Dorsett injury kind of threw their whole team off.
Because right now, the worst two teams in the West are St. Louis and LA. Would you say St. Louis and LA are easy teams to beat?
No, definitely not.
Like you see the Blues in the schedule, and you're like, oh, fuck yeah, there's a W. No one thinks that.
The Blues are 2-4-3, so they're 3 games. What they're one shot away from being 5-4 kind of thing.
Yeah, pretty much. They're like if they had won those OT games, then they'd be flying. Mm-hmm. But the Kings though look terrible. I will say that.
How about Kovalchuk signing there because he wanted to win?
Yeah, I think that was disingenuous. I think he wanted to enjoy the Los Angeles lifestyle. I don't think anybody expected the Kings to be competitive during that 3-year contract. I mean, it's not 2011.
Influx of vitamin D, little beach life. Nice little boardwalks.
I'm still shocked that Kovalchuk didn't end up in Washington. I just thought that made so much sense.
Would they have had the cap room to make it work?
I don't know. No, they didn't really. Well, like what I thought was going to happen is that, because you know John Carlson was a UFA, I thought he was going to be the one to walk, and then they were going to bring in Kovalchuk, or they're going to trade TJ Oshie or something.
And then Carlson gets some huge smoke in the summer and gifts my boy Nuge with a wonderful goal last night. Thank you, John Carlson. Next up, I want to talk to you guys about what is going on with Jesse Puljujärvi, or as Ufe told us on Nation Real Life podcast on Monday, Jesse Puljujärvi. Dan, you were sitting in the room. How about the Swedish, just how it rolls off the tongue? It's like nice waves coming in.
Yeah,
in and out.
That was one of our, Ufe is from Elite Prospects, and that's one of our favorite features here around the table of Elite Prospects is their pronunciation tool.
I brought that up on Nation Real Life. I said, I need a master account so we can get back to using the voice tool. Now, this Puljujärvi talk brought to you by our friends at Get Sauced. Our friends at Get Sauced have got all kinds of delicious sauces, rimmers.
Spices,
and just, they're just nice people.
Do they have a 24-hour hotline where I can talk to people about sauce?
They have a website, getsauce.com. You can go there and peruse their whole lineup, Coop. You're feeling like it's 3 a.m. and you're like, man, I could go for some sauce. I need to plan out my order. Go to getsauce.com. Maybe give them a call. 780-462-2418. 780-462-2418. Or go see them at 9620 58th Avenue. Christopher, sales at getsauce.com. Send them an email. Improve the flavors of your life with our friends at Get Sauced.
You can talk to me about sauce 24 hours a day if you want.
Chris, let's talk about sauce. What do you like? I've been very much enjoying the jalapeno sauce that they hooked us up with.
Hey, you have been, Big Milk. I think it's 3 days in a row now.
Crushing it.
Yeah.
Crushing it.
What are you putting it on?
Yeah, I dunk my burritos in it. Make a little pool of the jalapeno sauce. Little Dunkerino.
That sounds delicious. Do you guys remember the other day when Evan the intern came in just with a full loaf of bread and he sat down and he opened the loaf of bread and he started pouring hot sauce on each piece?
It stressed
me
out.
And he was making hot sauce sandwiches. That was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen.
But you know what? Get sauce is that good.
Yeah, Get sauce is so good that Evan the intern, bless his heart, brought in a loaf of bread and just ate hot sauce on
it. And we were
bread.
Like, Evan, don't you have like any other meats or things you could put on a sandwich? He's like, oh yeah, I do, absolutely. But what I was feeling for my lunch today was just a loaf of bread and varying sauces from Get Sauce.
One of the weirdest things is when I reached in to maybe grab a slice of bread, he grabbed it like a squirrel was grabbing a nut, and he ran outside and started just eating it in the backyard.
Evan guards his bread like a prisoner guards his passcode to get ordering. Oh,
where were we going commissary with that one?
Man, Dan, your mind is always in the gutter, whereas mine is not.
It is.
Dan is got a real case of spring fever here, despite the fact that we are in late October.
The dead of fall.
Boys, get back to Jesse Puljujärvi. He was a healthy scratch last night against the Washington Capitals.
Coom with the banging in the mic.
Can't sit still today.
Everybody's banging mics here. Right now. Chris, what do you think about Jesse Puljujärvi being a healthy scratch last night?
I'm hearing very...
Jared is maneuvering microphones so that we don't bang them. Jared is
no
moving.
No, so can't.
Very, very gently moving it.
I've been sent to the AHL like Jesse Puljujärvi should be.
There's a lot of good arguments on both ends. I'm torn with the Jesse Puljujärvi everything. I want him. I wish he would have played last night. I think I want to see him get more minutes in a game and give him more opportunity, because if you bench a guy after only giving him 10 minutes, like for a few games in a row, it's like, is he really getting his shot?
It's the anti-Gerard Gallant way of coaching, and it frustrates me. It's not...
Fanboy, Vegas fanboy nation, yep, Dan. Go ahead.
For sure. It's tough when this is case 192 of reasons as to why we've mishandled and mismanaged Jesse Puljujärvi.
Can you name all 192?
I can. So the first one was, we'll do that on another podcast, Dansplain podcast.
The Dansplaining Jesse Puljujärvi mismanagement podcast.
Yeah. So I think it's just a resume of mistakes that just, it's a death by a thousand cuts. And the poor guy just needs some time and some consistency in his life. And we're just not seeing that.
Cam, what do you think? You got Jesse Puljujärvi. He's playing around 9, 10, 11 minutes a night, roughly. Not getting a whole lot done. Parks himself in the press box last night against the Washington Capitals. Cam, what do you think?
I really get the feeling that he wasn't the organization's guy and they just felt they had to draft him when he fell. I don't think McClellan likes his play style at all. I think I think deep down they wanted that like North American more ready player like Matthew Tkachuk.
I was actually talking to a media friend yesterday, and he said his sense was that the plan all in was Sergachev.
Really?
And then when Puljujärvi dropped, they were like, oh shit.
You got to take him. Because there's another thing is at the draft, they didn't have a jersey ready with his nameplate. So maybe that was like, oh, we just didn't expect him to fall. But you'd think that they'd have one just ready.
You'd have a contingency plan.
Right. Because there was a chance, because you're obviously not going to make a Matthews or a Line A one because they're going 1 and 2. But
he
didn't have a Puljujärvi one ready. So it was like, maybe it wasn't even in their wildest dreams.
Maybe. And then now with the benefit of hindsight, the Finnish GM for Columbus going and picking a French-Canadian boy.
That's what always made it seem. It's like, did Jarmo Kekäläinen know something? Because he's Finnish.
Mm-hmm. And can you say that again?
Puljujärvi. Jarmo Kekäläinen.
Yes.
Good for you, Coop.
One more time.
Jarmo Kekäläinen. It's almost like I have a profile in Elite Prospects and I just listen to Finnish names all night.
You definitely went to EP.
Jarmo Kekäläinen.
Nice.
Rick, what do you think about what's going on with Jesse Puljujärvi?
I think everyone's getting a little excited right now. He's 20 years old, so let's calm down a bit. He definitely got rushed. He probably shouldn't have been here year one. We kind of had to. We didn't really have any other options. Year two, we probably had a better place to play than here. But he started off a little bit slow. He got his game going, and right away, they bumped him up. Let him get some confidence, get him have some positivity in his 12, 13 minutes on the third line with Strome. Just because he has like a really good third period doesn't mean you go bump him up right away. But with yesterday, I don't mind it. This is when coaching comes in, and they're new coaches, so you got to give them the benefit of the doubt. But you know he wasn't sitting up there just eating popcorn by himself. He was up there with Manny Vivrios, and they would have been talking the whole game. And this is where teaching comes in. And Vivs comes from junior, so he's dealt with these kids. He knows how to talk to these young guys. He's all about coaching these guys. Tomorrow's going to be interesting to see if he gets back in the lineup or even Sunday. If he doesn't, then you got to put him down right away. But one game up isn't going to be the end of the world. The important stuff is going to be what happens when he comes back on the ice. I give him 10 games, 12, 13 minutes with Strome, third line, maybe sprinkle him in on the second power play, but do that for 10 games in a row and then see where we're sitting.
The line jumbling thing is what frustrates me the most, and Puljujärvi's kind of caught in the middle of it. And Dustin Nielsen made a great point yesterday on his Facebook Live video. Do other teams, when a third or fourth line guy scores a goal, do other teams just like automatically bump him?
No, because we didn't see Burakovsky. He was in the fourth line. Well, he didn't jump up suddenly to the Ovechkin.
That happens to the Oilers every time.
But other teams have good forwards on the wing.
Because what the Oilers have is just like this jumble of a top six. And they have three authentic top six forwards, Nugent Hopkins, Draisaitl, McDavid, and then kind of just three like empty spots.
We sent him Ray Maroon last year. That was a consistent guy in our top six. We haven't had anybody to play on McDavid's right wing for a long time, except for Draisaitl, who's supposed to be our second line center. Like, it's just, I think it's an Oilers unique situation that they just haven't fixed in the off seasons, and so here we are.
My problem with the whole Jesse Puljujärvi thing is that I think even having him at 9-10 minutes a night, because he's not really getting any power play time, to me that's a waste. To me, having him on 9 minutes a night on the third line, which is fine, but then throw him on the power play, give him a spot to succeed. If that's not going to be the plan, send him down to Bakersfield where he can work on all the stuff that they want him to work on, but he's playing 20 minutes a night. The thing is, Bakersfield now actually has a little bit of skill there that he could play with, and he would probably benefit way more from 20 minutes a night consistently in Bakersfield than he would 8-9 minutes a night on the third line with no power play time. Let him play all situations. Let him work it out. The NHL is not a development league yet. The Oilers continue to treat it like it is, and it's super frustrating.
I agree, and I, like, one thing from last night that I don't like to harp on Lucic for stuff, because I think he's done a lot better as the season's rolled on, but him on the power play, on that first power play, is just maddeningly inconsistent. And the message yesterday to Puljujärvi through the coach, through the media, was that we're holding all players accountable, and Lucic on that top power play is not good. And we haven't seen him held accountable for his imperfections.
As much as they say it, that'll never come true. Holding everybody fairness.
Oh no, I know.
And holding everybody accountable. Luch is fine. I think he's had a decent year. I think if we get this out of him all year, yes, he's overpaid, but whatever. We can't change that. This is what we need out of this guy.
Yep. No, and I guess it's just like, it's to Beg Milk's point. If there's a spot where you could find some time for Puljujärvi to play,
I think he's just making little mistakes there that's getting on the coach's skin.
Oh yeah,
for sure. There's times when the puck comes up to him on just below the blue line to get it out, and he's not getting it out. And those are the little things that are coming back and biting him in the ass at the end of the day.
Yeah, he's Mr. Burns with the sideburns. It's he's got to cut those sideburns.
Just to me, the weird thing is like, yeah, he's making mistakes, but when other guys make the same mistakes, they're not getting the same level of accountability from the team. And for me, that's frustrating. Like yesterday, Bob Stauffer tweeted out, dating back to last season, Jesse Puljujärvi has 2 goals, 1 assist, and 3 points in his last 23 games. Stellar third period in Winnipeg. Puljujärvi was quiet, blah, 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 blah. Night off in the press box won't kill him. Relax. Now, that's a fair point. However, I don't want to keep harping on Luch because like he's been having a great start to the season, goal scoring aside. But he had 2 goals in 53 games. He is a veteran of over 800 games. Should he not be held to a higher standard?
No, and that's what Rick was saying. It's unfortunate. It's just the way the NHL works.
Well, it's almost the other way around in a sense that Lucic has had such a, I'd call it a successful career.
Mm-hmm. Very successful career.
So now he's just having things gifted to him.
Exactly. But if the message is to be believed that we're being fed, then it's not.
Cam, what do you say? I'll give you the last word on the Jesse Puljujärvi.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a difficult one to think of because I think we've been to hell and back with this whole thing. Like on the podcast, I think we've all said, oh, he deserves top six. And now we're all agreeing he should be playing consistently in the third line. It's like, we're all like, it's difficult to like think of how this guy is going to thrive because he's so rapidly inconsistent. No, I agree with what Rick's saying now is that Puljujärvi, what he needs the most is consistency and low pressure. Like, I really think actually a Lucic, Strom, Puljujärvi third line would thrive.
Sure. And the thing, another thing too, is he needs to be able to make mistakes and not get punished for them immediately. Because the kid is 20 years old. He's 4 months older than Yamamoto. And not only that, he can barely speak English. Well, he can speak some English, but like, you know, there's something lost in translation there as well. So I just kind of wonder, why is the hammer being put down on him a little bit more than maybe others for doing the same kind of mistakes? I don't know. I just find it odd. I find it odd. That's all, Dan.
He just wasn't their guy.
Just didn't seem like it was their guy. Personally, I would kind of agree with the idea that maybe they were going for Sergachev. And then when Puljujärvi drops, they're just like, oh shit, found money.
Yeah.
In theory.
Because you know they wanted that puck-moving D-man. That's something they had talked about forever. Sergachev would have been a great fit.
It would have been a great fit. We just had to wait a few years for Evan Bouchard.
Can we talk about how bad it was that Montreal drafted him and then traded him for Drouin?
I was talking about that yesterday. Ugly look. That is one of the worst trades in recent memory, at least in my opinion, because that's one that'll burn them for like a decade or more.
Because Sergachev's good.
As a former Moosehead season ticket holder, I will defend Drouin, and I think that there is some untapped talent there, but there is a... from the behind skeletons. The scenes look that Drouin, there's some issues with Drouin not caring as much as he should. And I think that was to Steve Yzerman's credit. He recognized that. He dealt with it for a while and had him not playing and then dealt him for a great defenseman.
Because Yzerman made a hell of a mishap drafting him over Seth Jones in the first place. That was dumb. Yep. But then he mitigated that by acquiring Sergachev. It's like, all right, it's a wash.
It's annoying that he's just kind of sitting and waiting right now. Last year of his contract with Tampa, you know he's going to Detroit next year.
Do you think he's going to Detroit and they're gonna axe Ken Holland finally after this miserable year?
I think Ken Holland will just step down. I don't think they'll
axe him. I could see Ken Holland doing the Kevin Lowe thing and they'll get him. Because Ken Holland's like Detroit royalty. They're not going to fire him. The Illich family's not going to fire him.
Are you sure it's Alex Holland?
It's Alex Holland and Alex Yzerman. And Alex Illich is not going to fire any of the Alex clan.
Yeah, I just think that he's going to get moved off to another role, like he's the VP of, you know, cruising the, you know, whatever.
He takes over the Little Caesars entertainment district and he's booking the concerts at the arena like K-Lo is doing.
Garth Brooks banners coming for you, Detroit.
They're
coming for you. This Puljujärvi talk and session was brought to you by our friends at Get Sauced. I've been told, Dan, that they are close to having the Radio Silence death sauce ready for the next round of Coombs Trivia.
Wait, Radio Silence?
So while you were away, Coombs, while you were in Toronto, I got an email from Dustin, our friend over at Get Sauced.
GetSauced.com, Dan.
GetSauced.com, and he let us know that the spices that he's been waiting for to do the special Get Bagged Milk Sauce have arrived in Vancouver. So they're on their way.
Where have they arrived from?
They're not allowed to be transported by train or plane.
Oh, my goodness.
They're so powerful.
Yeah, they burn.
So it's coming up. Have to ride by horse.
It's essentially across the ocean.
Yes.
So what they do is they get a horse and then they tie it onto the horse and they put the horse in a dolphin.
Yes.
And the dolphin goes across the ocean.
Exactly. With orca escort. Yeah. And so it's on its way now. We're probably about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks out from getting this. And sorry, Bag Milk. He's coming for you.
So the next round of Coombs Trivia is going to be an interesting one.
Because we're going to include Jay.
Yeah, Jay was talking big game on Real Life Podcast about how he could handle it, and he thought that we were overreacting to the sauces.
No, we weren't overreacting.
Oh, that's what I said. He called you out.
Called you out.
Why?
Because he said you have a subtle bit of gamesmanship going on during your Coombs Trivia.
Yeah, he says that you're manipulating the clock.
It's 100% true.
What do you mean I'm manipulating
the
clock?
Cam, when the clock is running down and you're like, let me Google something.
He also blamed Chris because Chris just throws out red herring.
Yeah, but I also just eat them anyway every single time.
Well, that's why Jay's got beef with you, I guess. But Jay is going to be punished with Radio Silence death sauce from our friends at Get Sauced. I very much look forward to this because, like I said, Jay was talking a big game.
Okay, well, if that's the case, Jay can handle the clock for me because it is extremely hard to look at a list of 25 things and be like, okay, like, is this on the list? Like, I'm also looking at the clock.
I spent the whole week with Jay, with the Swedes visiting here, and the whole time he's been talking about how he's literally sweating it out about having to do this trivia now.
Yeah, because now he agreed to it. Knows. He's calling us all out for saying that we're overreacting to the hot sauces, and now he's in the mix.
I'm going
to
put a lot of thought into coming up with some really fucked up questions. Now that I've heard that there's so much beef with the
Well, another thing he was saying is, how could you guys not name all these Swedes that play for the Oilers?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? So what I'm saying is, you know what? When you're under the pressure of the game.
Let's have a specific J round where I have to make him name like 5 out of 10 things. And if he doesn't, then he has to eat like 5 of those.
We should have a J versus Coom round.
Yeah, we could do that.
Head to head.
Somebody else can come up with some questions.
Yes.
Next round of Coombs Trivia is going to be an entertaining one.
Because I got a chip on my shoulder now. I'm feeling agitated.
See? Little beef. Beef sells records, and that's what we're doing here with our friends at Get Sauced. Guys, the next thing I wanted to bring up was not related to the Oilers, but the NHL in general. I don't know if you saw the John Tortorella comments about the kids these days.
I didn't.
No, I didn't either.
Bag Milk.
Bear with me, this is a little bit long of a quote, but I'm going to read the whole thing to you because I find it hilarious. John Tortorella is upset about NHL players essentially being friends with each other, the lack of hatred between opponents. And his quote was, "The game's changed, and for some dinosaurs that are in it, it's very frustrating. I have to admit, and I'm not joking about it, it really frustrates me. Conversation on the ice amongst opponents at a face-off, it's like a big hug fest sometimes. I don't know if they have so many meetings with this NHLPA and all that stuff that goes on, but there's no hate, and I miss that. Frustrates the shit out of me, quite honestly. I think there's been some great changes in our game, but damn, I miss that old school. I'm coming at you. We'll have a beer later, but do we have to talk about things on the ice right now? Oh, it man. Sickens me, quite honestly. Cam, as our resident millennial, what do you think about that?"
That is... like, not chill. You need to mellow the fuck out. Like, everyone's having a good time here. Let's relax. Like, these people, I mean, come on. Like, we have, like, people in their 20s making, like, millions of dollars, and everyone's just like, man, life's sick.
And, like, does he get super mad when he watches basketball? Like, before the game, they all go and they're doing
watch a baseball game, and you see guys at first base just like, hey, like, how are your kids doing? Like, how's life? Like,
I'm such a big fan of him calling himself a dinosaur, though, at the start of it. Like, precursor, I'm old as fuck.
At least there's some self-awareness. It's like, I don't know, man. Sorry we don't live in the days where we walk to and from work uphill, and it's like everyone just wants to have a good time. It's not that big of a deal.
I agree with him.
Yeah.
Some of the best clips out there are, I mean, Brian Bellows and Brian Trottier. I think everyone's seen that that YouTube clip, right?
Yep. Yes.
Sure.
You don't see that now. That's
No,
that hostility brings. That's what hockey's all about.
And he lived through the most entertaining times of hockey. And I personally didn't. Like, I never saw any of that. Those lines.
You see coaches go at each other in the dressing room hallways anymore?
You just saw he just saw a different time of hockey.
No, but like, when was the last time? I honestly can't remember if I've ever seen a live line brawl.
Oh, there was when the Oilers and Thrashers in 03-04. Mike Bischoff on the bench. That was
in the bench, yeah.
But like, when's the last time you saw that? So I totally get where he's coming from.
Last year, Matthew Tkachuk slashed Luke Kwiatkowski on the back of the leg as he left the ice. And then
where can you see this?
On hockeyfights.com, right?
Oh, just curious.
Nice tables.
There it is. Like
yeah. So as
aggregating
the
person, content.
As the person that does a lot of hockey fight clips, I think there's a shift in the aggression and the hatred in
it's
hockey.
It's a skill game now.
I think it's still there. It's just different. And nothing wrong with being different. There's a change in our awareness of health issues and all that.
I don't know. It's just like football, man. Hockey and football are so similar in those two ways. Where basketball and baseball, they're not really contact sports per se. Yep. So you really don't have that. You don't have that animosity. But in hockey and in football, it's the same thing. I want hate out there. Have beers afterwards. When you're on the ice, you don't talk to the other guys.
I bet you honestly see more animosity in baseball now than you do in hockey. Like, I see more players being thrown out by pitchers, yeah. And like when Bryce Harper came and chucked his helmet at what's his fuck on San Francisco, like there's more grit in baseball now than hockey. It's actually hilarious.
Well, I also wonder too, like, if just player movement is a lot more common in the NHL than maybe it was back in the day.
Yep.
These guys are playing against former teammates. Like last night when Alex Chiasson gets his Stanley Cup ring, the Washington Capitals literally made a promo video for it for him. He's in the dressing room with his old teammates. They're all hugging and shit. Like, these guys move around so much more maybe than they used to. And it's easier to just talk to people now. They're texting each other, firing each other messages. Like, I just think it's a different world. I'm not overly surprised. Would it be fun to see them get super pissed off all the time? It still happens sometimes, but I just don't see it happening.
They're on each other's Instagram all the time.
And I think he's fine with that because he said right on there, it's like, after the game, let's go have a beer. But on the ice, we can't be buddies. Like, it's go time. Let's go. I'm playing for the players. I'm playing for the name on the chest. You don't have the same thing. I want to win. That means I want you to lose. And I'm going to give it everything I got. And if I've got to throw you through a wall to do it, well, that's what I'm going to do.
I just think it's a shift. It's a shift that we're seeing across the world. But like it's these guys go home at the end of the night and they can talk to each other via text all the time. Back in Tortorella's day, you had to fucking spin the old
Pony Express. But hockey also, message out in a telegram.
Hockey, back in that day, like, there was more... It was more oriented to, like, you could push your way to a win physically. Like, you fuck somebody up, but now it's like you have to skill and system your way to a win, and you're not going to gain anything by taking a penalty or, like, cross-checking a guy. It's like the game itself has moved so much in the way that it's coached, the way that it's reffed. It's become a different thing. And it's like, it's not as intense and aggressive. It's you so think much it's more, ever, it's more skill and system oriented. Though.
You think we'll ever see it?
Sure. Like, in the playoffs. In the playoffs. Like if just look at how much hatred there was between the Oilers and Ducks in the playoffs.
Yeah, hatred, but you're not going to have like line brawls. Like no one's going to risk that anymore in the playoffs.
I truly believe that we will come to a point where technology will catch up to the physicality of sport.
We're all robots.
Well, it'll catch up at some point.
The exponential growth curve.
And we won't have head injuries from huge hits anymore. And so we can get back to that game. But it's just, there's a self-correction going on right now with the sport. It's
how do you think technology, this we're kind of getting off track, but how do you think technology is going to correct concussions in sport?
I think that these concussion
people's brains are
going to
be in a jar and then they're going to be like stored in the cloud and you're going to have a chip in your head and your thoughts are going to transmit from there to there and there's no brain in your head, so there's no risk of injury.
Rick is pointing to the shoulder pads right now and that's a good point.
Well, yeah.
But there's a lot of equipment that's gone too far. In the shift, but I just think that we're becoming more aware of head injuries. There's a lot more people speaking out about it, and it's something that's going to shift, and then it'll come back. There's just a correction going on right now.
And another thing too, it's October. These guys were all just training with each other all summer long, and it's October.
Playing on World Championship.
Do you think
October's not really known for the angriest hockey you've ever seen?
Yes, it is. Shut up, bag milk.
I just think that like let some of these kids meet up in the playoffs. That's where the hatred starts. It has to have a playoff series. It's like the Battle of Alberta.
What happens when
the Oilers and Flames meet in the playoffs? There's going to be a lot of shenanigans.
That's why we have no rivals right now because we've never been in the playoffs. And the only rivals that I would like call it, because there's no Battle of Alberta thing going on right now. But like, I think most fans hate the Ducks, and that's because we had a heated series against them.
But and that's something that the NHL has also manufactured now. Because you're forced to play your own division,
totally,
to start the playoffs.
Which
so
is good.
It's going to be something that, as Beg Milk has said, it's going to grow.
We got a split decision here on old torts. Personally, I think you just can't battle the way the society's going.
He's just mad because he coaches the Columbus Blue Jackets.
And he's got no friends.
They have that dumbass cannon.
Nobody texts him after games.
He doesn't have Brooksy to yell at anymore.
He's projecting. That's the thing. He sees all these kids out there having a great time with each other. And he's like,
he's jealous.
I don't have any friends.
Nobody wants to play Fortnite with me. Nobody's on my
crew. Back in my day, a Fortnite meant 2 weeks.
So you think he's encouraging his players to like go out and fight and be idiots?
I hope so. I hope they all fight at hockeyfights.com.
He just wants more guys like Kachuk down in Calgary. The guys are out there just to piss other guys off, and that's the type of hockey he wants to see. He doesn't want to see the more, I'm going to sound like Don Cherry, the more European style where it's just, flowing.
And there's a shift happening.
That's what he's
too.
Trying to get at. Honestly, I agree with it. I'd much rather have that.
Yeah, I agree too.
There's a shift happening there too. Like Jamie Benn now goes out and fights a guy. Every season, like he's a
selfish lover as well.
And the Dallas Stars see unmitigated success. They won a playoff series in like 2007.
Can't control that.
It's definitely not teams like Washington and Pittsburgh that do well.
Yeah, all the fighters on Pittsburgh and Washington. You know what I mean? Although Tom Wilson, thanks for not being there last night. Nobody got a headshot, so I appreciate you being suspended, Tom Wilson. Thank you for that, boys. We are getting close to the end of this podcast, so I want to end it off by talking about something very near and dear to my heart, and that is our road trip to Calgary.
Oh, yeah.
November 17th. That is a Saturday. We are coming up. We're a month and change, less than a month away, Dan.
We are.
3 weeks away from going down to Calgary. We're going to have a blast.
So excited.
We're going to jump on the bus, stop in Red Deer probably for something to eat, pick up some people down there.
Yeah.
Grab a beer. We're going to have some pops on the bus. Chris, you look excited. You're fired up.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more fun this time around because we've done this before. We know the ins and outs of the Saddle Dome. And
we won't pass around that flask that got everybody sick the
we'll
day
pass later. Around. Yeah. We're everyone's bringing their own flask this time.
We're just going to siphon gas right from the bus.
We know which luxury boxes to like sneak into that we're allowed to.
Yeah, the Saddle Dome's a shithole.
Yeah, it's so bad.
Oh, really did you see sucks. The video of the guy walking to the press box across that?
Oh, that's terrifying.
Oh. They like have to go into the scoreboard to get into the press box.
It's terrible. It's terrifying. It's like a little catwalk that you got to walk across to get up there. And it's just terrifying.
We'll post it on our social.
We're going to go to Singapore Sam's and do some drumming like we're the Oilers drummers.
We posted a picture on our Instagram.
Oh,
official Oilers Nation on Instagram. We posted a picture of some people dancing on tables at Singapore Sam's. Coombs got his drum beats ready.
Mm-hmm.
Go over to Backside Tours. This is the last week you can get tickets, Chris. The last week you can get tickets.
We won't even talk about it after this.
Why? Because Backside needs to settle things like hotels and tickets and all that shit. So if you're procrastinating, you're going to miss it. We want you there. Saturday, November 17th.
I almost forgot about this again. Sandman fixed their hot tub.
Oh, there's a hot tub.
The boys are going tubby.
We're gonna be doing a Nation Talk live video from the hot tub.
And you can be in it. Everyone bring their swim trunks.
Everybody can be in the hot tub if they want. It's fine.
Or just your undies. We won't tell the people at the Sandman Hotel that you're in there in your undies, Chris.
You can wear a pair of jeans in the hot tub if you wanted to.
I'm going.
I don't know if
it'd
be comfortable, but if you wear a pair of jeans in there, then whatever.
Probably not that.
You live your own life, it's not a big deal.
You can also get into bed with Cam and Chris.
Chris and Cam always welcome strangers into their bed. They're very friendly that way. You can take some pictures. Chris might rock a blouse. Yeah, it's four in the afternoon. Everybody's a little bit tipsier than they should be from four in the afternoon. We're going to have a great time again. I'm really looking forward to having a bus full of Nation citizens heading down to Calgary, heading back behind enemy lines and seeing what kind of mischief we get up to this time.
I got to pace myself a little more. I just remember before we went out to the Saddle Dome, I was getting the spins in the restaurant. And I was like, my God, the game hasn't even started.
We did a Nation Talk on the bus last year.
We did.
With handsome Tom Gazzola. And I watched it recently, and
yeah.
Us four plus Tom had had a few cocktails. It was a little bit slurring, but we're doing that thing where we're pretending not to slur. We're very, very
we're trying to slow
clear.
Our words down. We're like, what?
We were all convinced that we were the soberest guys out there. Nobody knew what we were up to.
Yeah, watch that video back. And you're just like, oh, you guys are greased. So backsidetours.com, go get your tickets. Super cheap. They've got single occupancy all the way up to four people at a time. Go out and get it. This is the last week you can. We got to shut it down so we can organize, lock in details. Backsidetours.com. They're helping us set us up.
Don't miss it.
Chris, anything else?
No.
We will end today's podcast with deep thoughts from Chris the intern. Have a good weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.
Best wishes.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.